this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I'm Paul David, founder and CEO of Literal Humans and the host of this show. I'm joined today by Michael Pytel, who's Senior Director of ERP at VASS. VASS, you got to say VASS, Michael? Is that the right way?
That's right. Wait, we say VASS, yeah.
All right. And we're going to talk about accelerating the agentic AI revolution. Yeah, well, let's get your introduction in and out of the way here. VASS is a global digital transformation powerhouse operating in 26 countries, focused on helping organizations simplify complexity, which is the name of the game these days, and drive real business impact through cutting-edge technology. Michael is a seasoned innovator and author with over 25 years in the SAP ecosystem, from co-founding Nimble, is that how you say it? Nimble? N-I-M-B-L?
That's right. Right.
To his current role leading VASS's technology practice, he's at the forefront of the agentic AI revolution, transforming how enterprises use SAP, Google Cloud, and machine learning to move beyond simple automation into truly intelligent operations. Welcome to the pod, Michael.
Thank you so much, Paul, for having me. Excited to have a conversation today. This is a topic I'm passionate about, so it's fun to share ideas.
Yeah. Honestly, I think I have one of the best jobs in the world. I get to talk to smart folks like yourself about this stuff every week. So yeah, let's dig in. The first question we'd like to ask is just for you to kind of give our audience, context about the landscape that you're working in. So we'd love for you to help us understand, the digital transformation that a lot of companies are seeking and how VASS is kind of redefining that. And give us that perspective about what are companies looking for while delivering solutions in their local markets, and what are they needing? What are they desiring?
Yeah, absolutely. So to provide some context, my specific focus area is on medium to large enterprise businesses. So organizations that are consumer packaged goods, manufacturing, healthcare, biotech, high-tech companies, high-tech manufacturers. So companies typically with revenues of $500 million in US dollars and above, they run an ERP system. A lot of my customers do run SAP as an ERP system, and then they are on this journey to cloud-based ERP systems. So for your audience, if they're outside of the SAP ecosystem, SAP has a big push to move all of its customers to its cloud-based application called the SAP Business Suite. For the last 30 years, customers, 40 years, have been allowed to run SAP on-premise. So in a data center, in a server room somewhere, or maybe in a private cloud environment. And now SAP has a big shift to move all of its customers to its public cloud infrastructure, which does a couple things for them that really enable this AI revolution, right? Because their AI platform, in order to avoid having sort of different versions for different customers and different data centers all over the planet, we move to the shared infrastructure that enables SAP to deliver an AI platform that's kind of shared across everybody. And they can continuously innovate as opposed to asking customers every year to upgrade, right? And we always had those customers that never upgraded, right? They've been running the same ERP for 20 years and they just operated as is. So yeah, I support customers moving to this cloud-based ERP platform. And to answer your question about what are they looking for? They're looking for expertise and guidance. They're looking for the partner that has that demo environment, has that lab environment, is able to do sort of selective proof of concepts and pilots, that partner that's done this for other customers that are kind of on the tip of the spear, right? There are those CIOs and CEOs that are comfortable being tip of the spear. We love those as technologists because we love to adopt those new technologies. But yes, so in different markets, we support lots of different industries, professional services, manufacturing, like I said, everything from, we have a professional services customer, the former IBM of Costa Rica called GBM, fantastic, cool customer. We have customers in Spain, North America, et cetera, and lots of different industries. So I'm hoping I'm giving you a better picture of who I'm supporting and what we're doing.
Yeah, totally. We'd love to talk about the company in general, sort of evolving from being like a traditional consultancy to what's been called a digital champion. Like what's the distinction there? Because we're seeing a lot of that in the market, and even ourselves, we're adjusting to more strategy and less outputs of widgets. Like what's that been like?
Yeah. So in terms of supporting that digital transformation, we support the order to cash process beginning at the e-commerce B2B, B2C layer, all the way through the ERP layer, and then the backend accounting and analytics layer. So true support of end-to-end business processes from the sales and CRM platforms where you're empowering your sales force with, so AI capabilities around next best action and building pipeline and closing pipeline. And then the middle of the business process, which is, selling it with a sales order, producing it, making it, invoicing it. And then at the end of all of this, the analytical reporting processes to support that financial reporting, regardless of the country or entity that you sort of exist as in those countries. So we support that entire process, right? I think of there's a lot of ERP consulting companies, but at Voss, we can implement SAP's Commerce Cloud and their Salesforce Commerce Cloud. So digital platforms for commerce for B2C and B2B, that core ERP component, and then the analytical and financial reporting and analytics components. So really supporting businesses end
to
end.
That's great. And to kind of dive more into your actual product, we'd love to like really dig in and give our audience an understanding of, you know, how you're basically transforming ERP systems, you know, from tools into teammates, how you're leveraging AI to do that. Talk to us about some of the key differences between like a traditional ERP system and what you all describe as, you know, intelligent ERP.
Yeah. So the intelligent ERP leverages technologies from SAP and in certain cases from Google and Gemini Enterprise to allow you to take on more complex activities. And so let's take, for example, in the accounting world, if you're a manufacturer, you're going to have to do something called a three-way match. You have a goods receipt, an invoice receipt, and you're matching that against a purchase order. It's basically, you need to make sure that everything matches and ties so that when you make a payment to a vendor, you receive the goods, you match the goods to what was originally purchased. You've got the right quantity in the right place. They met all your quality specifications. And this typically is taking a human being. And so agentic AI is coming into play now where we can have an AI agent match invoices to purchase orders to goods receipts and make sure that everything aligns. Because unfortunately, in the real world, a vendor invoice doesn't always match what they sent you and doesn't always match what you received and put away and inspected and rejected or accepted. There is some intelligence that needs to be applied there. And this can be a tedious process. Another area where we're seeing agentic AI take over in ERP is cash applications. You have a customer, you send them five different orders over a period of 6 months, and they just send you a check for $10,000. Do you know where to apply that? Right, there is some human intelligence involved in there, and we can take that intelligence, write it down, give it to an AI agent, now let an AI agent do that. Now we're sort of moving our tactical team members into more strategic thinking team members, allowing AI agents to take on more work. So that, to us, that's what the intelligent ERP is. The intelligent ERP or intelligent business suite is something where you can have these AI solutions support or augment your staff so that your staff can be more focused on the strategic opportunities as opposed to the tactical day-to-day invoice matching, as an example.
No, that's a great example. Obviously, there's loads of talk about, you know, agentic AI and AI that moves, you know, from being just a tool to kind of acting more of like a trusted teammate. So talk to us about how Voss is building AI agents for areas like procurement and inventory. And also, I'd love to understand better this connection between, you know, the sort of SAP Business Data Cloud and the Google BigQuery. How are you helping companies break down silos with these new teammates?
Yeah, so my personal philosophy, and this is my personal philosophy. My personal philosophy with AI agents is that they should act on behalf of a user, not as a user. And the distinction there is, I believe from a security segregation of duties perspective, we want AI agents to act as Michael, not as itself, as like some sort of super agent with super access that can do anything. AI agents should act on behalf of the user that they're supporting and adopt that user's authorities so that, you know, over the last decade, 20 years, organizations have put a lot of effort into defining security roles or segregation that have aligned with SOD's segregation of duties. So for example, I can't create a vendor, receive an invoice, pay an invoice, right? No one person could do that because theoretically you could set up your own vendor and pay yourself and then no one would know, right? So AI agents shouldn't be able to do that either. They should be able to act on behalf of users. And we help customers define not only the tasks that an AI agent should be supporting, but the security architecture, the monitoring, the governance of AI, in addition to the implementation of AI, because the to operationalize AI agents beyond the conference room pilot is actually pretty tough. There's a lot of thought that needs to go into it. You need to think about all the different exceptions and use cases. And again, I believe if you allow AI agents to act on behalf of a user, you're going to be better off because now you don't have some sort of AI super user that can accidentally do something it shouldn't. And then to answer your question about bridging technologies, I mean, SAP has done a good job with Business Data Cloud in creating an open platform that allows something called Delta Data Share. And so in the analytics and reporting world, whether that's for supply chain or finance or accounting or purchasing or human capital management, in the data warehouse world, we were so used to over the last 20 years replicating data from one data warehouse to another. And SAP is adopted an open standard called Delta Share that has also been adopted by Microsoft with Azure Data Fabric, with Google BigQuery and Google, also been adopted by Snowflake and Databricks. And so as we look at extending capabilities of AI, so SAP has its own version of AI called Joule, which is very cool and very capable, but it's very SAP centric. And so for the rest of your enterprise, you may want to use Gemini Enterprise, because Gemini is a lots of different capabilities that support and augment what SAP can do. And when connecting those two ecosystems together, we can use this thing called Delta Data Share between BigQuery and Business Data Cloud, so that I'm not replicating data across the universe to different data centers in different countries, but instead it's sort of virtualized and it's shared. And so I can spend less time moving data around and spend more time like analyzing and working with data, as opposed to being like the plumbers behind the in the data center kind of moving things around. So I think it's a very cool capability. A lot of customers aren't using it yet. It was just released last year. So I think in the enterprise, we're going to see adoption happen here, you know, over this year and next year, because again, not a lot of large enterprises are tip of the spear technology type organizations.
Yeah, fair. Would love to talk a little bit about how y'all are thinking about growth strategy. And I know you particularly cover the area of North America. We work with a lot of companies that are looking to either expand from Europe into North America or into Europe from North America. So this is a particularly interesting question for us. What are some of the challenges that you see U.S. companies facing when adopting these new technologies, adopting agentic AI? And how have you been working with them to fix those challenges?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right that different parts of the world have different opportunities. And so in North America, for example, in the SAP ecosystem, cloud adoption is rather high. So companies are welcoming of cloud technologies. They understand the value of not running their own data center and not paying resources to go manage power and data in a data center, things like that. And they're okay offloading that. But when we look at Latin America, there's a large majority of SAP customers in Latin America that are still on-premise and still in their own data center, and cloud adoption is relatively low. And I can't speak to Europe, but my European colleagues could provide more insight on that. So within North America, we have organizations. So, and when I talk about North America, I do include Mexico, US, and Canada. We do include, Mexico in this conversation because we are so closely connected within the US and Canada and Mexico together operationally. But these organizations are generally welcoming of cloud technologies. And so for us, as part of our growth strategy, it's arming our resources with the education to support our customers in deploying these new technologies. So labs, prototypes, conference pilots, offering hands-on education to customers for free, showing them how to use these technologies within the VAS environment, because we also run SAP here at VAS. We also use a lot of the applications our customers use, and we have deployed AI agents within our company in order to sort of, drink our own champagne or eat our own dog food, as a lot of Americans say, to show customers this is how we can do this. Now, saying that though, I would like to point out, a lot of customers enter the conversation about AI thinking they need an AI agent, and actually what they actually need is just a very simple AI skill. So we had a customer approach us and said, hey, I want an AI agent to write collection emails to customers because their orders are on credit hold and they have too many outstanding invoices. I want you to automatically do that. Believe it or not, I can use low-code AI tools to do that. I don't actually need a full-blown AI agent to do that. And so real agentic AI use cases for me personally, as I've been talking to customers, I haven't had a ton come across my desk, believe it or not, like true agentic, where I don't understand where the AI agent needs to figure out its own path to solve a problem. That to me is real agentic AI. When it's a linear path of like always do this and then do this and then do that, I think of that more as like an AI skill, something I can do with a low code platform. But yeah, these are the types of things we help educate customers on, that you don't need a full agentic AI deployment because this is not a full agentic AI use case. This is actually a very simple low-code use case that I can use from Google or SAP off the shelf and get it done.
Digging a little bit more there, thinking about this growing talent gap, I know this is a massive, massive, piece and something we're seeing, seeing and hearing a lot about. How do initiatives, I know you all have like the VAS Foundation, you have internal training programs. How are you, solving or attempting to solve this issue? And how's it helping you stay competitive with larger companies? Talk to us about, closing that talent gap using your internal resources.
Yeah. So there is if we rewind 10 years ago, I was co-founder of a company called Nimble, which is a professional services company. And at that time, our mantra in the beginning was hire the 20-year seasoned IBMer, Deloitte, Accenture consultant, the guy that was just been there, done that with 17 different companies, and he was an expert. We would adopt that philosophy. And then later in life, at Nimble, we started hiring, really smart people out of college, out of university, who had theoretical knowledge, business process knowledge, book knowledge, but may hadn't worked in an organization. And what we found is a lot of success in blending both those 20-year seasoned veterans and then the two-year, you know, junior analysts coming out of universities, blending those two people together, because you get the wisdom and the experience of the senior consultant and then the young, sort of hungry person that's ready to take on the world and do whatever they can do to learn as much as they can, as fast as they can, and they're eager to get that experience. And so here at Voss, we adopt that philosophy of senior mentors paired with junior resources that are coming in, super excited, super motivated. Our senior resources have built curriculum, hands-on labs. For example, as a thought leader in the agentic AI space, I write hands-on labs that our internal resources go through in order to come up to speed quickly on the different technologies. And the important differentiator here is that it's a hands-on lab. So it's not theoretical, it's not a PowerPoint, it's not this is what you can do. It's actually hands-on in an application, building an AI agent in SAP ERP for a specific use case so that people can begin to see it work and see it live. Because then when that person goes out into the field and they're working with a shoe manufacturer or rocket manufacturer or professional services company, they can be like, you know what? I did that. I've done something similar. I know that I can apply your use case to this technology that I've used before. It's pairing super seasoned, experienced consulting resources with sort of that younger, hungry talent coming out of university, specialized in machine learning or analytics or finance or accounting, coupled with hands-on education is what we're using to build that workforce, that team that is excited to go out there and work with our customers. And we're seeing it pay off. Our customers are super excited. They're excited to have a blend of young and experienced partners on a project. And with that also comes, you know, blended rate cards and blended experiences, but overall a very successful delivery at the end of the day.
Your journey. You've had a load of experiences that have helped shape your approach to innovation and leadership. You spent over a decade as co-founder and CTO at Nimble, which you just mentioned, before it was acquired. Well done. Congratulations. We'd love to hear about, you know, some of the toughest lessons or most interesting lessons you've learned, you know, as you transitioned across those different roles and now working within a global organization.
Yeah, I mean, what's nice about the move to Voss is that I'm still allowed to sort of be an entrepreneur inside of a large organization and working with one of my original co-founder, Yosh Eisbart, on growing the SAP or the ERP practice, the technology practice here at Voss in North America. So we begin with a lot of autonomy, which is great. Now, what brought me here? I've always been a passionate technologist. I've always supported manufacturing companies. I love that environment, that ecosystem of the makers in the world. I referenced before, you know, shoe company. I've supported multiple shoe companies in my history. I mentioned before, a rocket company. I had the opportunity to work at a rocket company. So it's very fun to see technology applied in these use cases. I'm not a rocket engineer, but it was really cool to see the business process and the business of making rockets and how that ties back into SAP and to see that purchase order, right? That sales order and then the bill of material. It was amazing. So in short, I'm a passionate technologist who's always supported medium and large enterprise, and I do actually enjoy deploying these cool technologies at organizations and seeing people's lives change and opportunities change. Earlier in the conversation, you had said, Michael, you've been in the SAP industry for 20 plus years. Hearing that out loud makes me feel a little bit old, but what I am very proud of is that there may be, you know, I'm going to send this to some colleagues, this podcast over to some colleagues. You know, we had guys start at Nimble on the help desk, you know, helping customer questions and problems in SAP. And now those same individuals are leaders in different organizations. In fact, one great story is a developer that we had hired as a junior developer with no experience. And now he's one of the lead AI developers over at Nova Intelligence, which is an AI company that uses development tools, AI for development tools for SAP ecosystem. So it's very cool to be in this space, bring in young people, see them grow and mature. And I think that's something that's super rewarding and looking forward to continuing to do that here at Voss is bring those young people on, get them excited, get them motivated to live in this ecosystem and just to see where they go from here. Yeah. We're very lucky. We're very lucky because some of the leadership team that's in Voss in Madrid was actually part of the prior acquisition of my other company, Nimble. And that leadership understands that some autonomy can be uncomfortable when given, you know, because, you know, people just do things differently. But they also have a recognition that the North American market for business consulting and ERP in digital transformation is different than the Central European market. It's just the geography is just a bigger country. It's a bigger space. The sales cycles are different. The implementations are different. The adoption of technology is different. And then you need to empower leaders locally in order to grow that. And Voss has done something similar in Mexico. Voss has done something similar in Chile and Peru, where they have brought in entrepreneurs, into the organization and allow them to grow that marketplace. Now, within the US, myself and my former co-founder, Yosh, we've been given a lot of autonomy around running educational workshops, selling through education, leading through education. That's sort of our mantra. That's what we're good at. We don't sell by selling. We sell by establishing ourselves as experts within a space, and then customers trust us. We build technical credibility first, and then we build that working relationship trust in the, later in life. It all starts with building that technical credibility, and that's what we're good at, and that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And then we'd love a bit on a bit more personal front. You've written some books. I come to this as a writer and someone who's working on some books myself, so I'm always very, very fond of people who put in that hard time, so well done on that. You've written about SAP HANA, SAP Fiori Security, if I'm saying that right.
Yep, that's right.
You've got this like incredibly strong technical background. How does that position you in a moment when we're seeing kind of the rise of low code and no code AI tools? Does it make you more cautious, or you know, what is your perspective on these tools that are helping people, you know, see around corners and maybe skip a step that you would have had to go through back in the day?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I am such a fan of the low-code tools. It just enables me to build so much faster. You know, on a personal note, I'm a subscriber to Google Enterprise and Gemini, and I'm able to develop in technologies 5 to 10 times faster than I could before without having to go and learn it all. I do agree with your statement, though, that there can be some lost knowledge or a gap where I understand the application flow. I understand application flow because I've been working in applications for 25 plus years. And if a young person comes in and just starts working with these low code tools, they don't have that perspective or that history of understanding how something should or might work. So I'm curious as to what our future brings with young people only working in low code tools and not actually working in sort of these originating backend systems. But I am absolutely excited. I think it's amazing. I have built my own travel AI agent on a personal note because I just love the technology. I think it's amazing. And I love booking travel for my family and decided, hey, I'm going to build an AI agent to help me book travel. But on the work front side, I think some of these young developers that we're bringing in, they come from computer science or computer information system degrees. They're able to use these low code tools to advance themselves very quickly. And I think it's fantastic. So I'm not afraid of them. I think it's amazing. And just so excited to see what people can create.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time. And I think one thing we're seeing along those lines is changing relationships with customers and clients, which they're obviously seeing this and being able to build things themselves and, you know, really eager to bring down the cost of both time and money of building things. And so in a way, it's brought us together with clients where they're sort of saying, hey, let's build more collaboratively. We can do a bit of the build and scoping, you can continue to, but it's also a challenge to business models on both sides. So yeah, really interesting to see the rise of these tools and how it changes relationships as well. Last question, I'll make it a fun one. You're a fellow travel enthusiast. I'm as well. I live abroad. I've traveled, you know, I think I'm up to 50 some countries now at this point. Has traveling, you know, and the kind of adaptability and increased cultural awareness that it builds, has it influenced the way that you lead teams or kind of navigate the fast pace of digital transformation? I'd love to hear any little anecdotes about that.
No, number one, delivery today of technology. I think, you know, 10 years ago, we at Nimble, we had a Denver office and we had 75 people sitting in the office. And now we have teams spread all across the globe and I don't have an office that I get to go to and see these 75 people. But one thing I can do is connect with people on online meetings culturally. You know, what's your background? What's your history? What's your favorite food and wherever you might be? So, you know, today after this podcast, I'm going to be on a phone call today with some teammates in Mexico City, with teammates in Vancouver, with a customer here in North America. And the one thing we can all connect on is cultural backgrounds, food, what we enjoy, travel, things like that. So for me, it's a great way to personally connect with somebody. You know, if I'm, for example, my colleagues in Vancouver, I really want to go to Whistler, I can talk to them about that. So I think it's a great way to connect personally. It's just being able to talk about cultures, backgrounds, histories, lineages, where you come from, where you're going. Just fantastic. I've traveled with my kids a bunch over the last 18 years with them. And I think that they have a great understanding of the world, that there are many cultures and many ways of doing things. I mentioned that I built my own AI travel agent because I have two kids and I always need two rooms. And I find it super annoying that travel sites are very geared towards people that just need one room.
Sure.
So I built my own AI agent that helps me find hotels with adjoining rooms.
Yeah. And I spoke to a gentleman the other day at a conference, and he's built kind of almost like an Airbnb for folks with different accessibility needs. Because it's a similar thing. It's like, hey, how can I just get cut through the noise and find places that actually can accommodate what I need. I love this episode, Michael, because I think your perspective shows that, you know, the future of enterprise tech is not just about more data. It's about, you know, creating actual systems and solutions, and many of them agentic, that actually work alongside humans and help them solve real world problems. I like your you know, suggestion earlier that it's like, you know, it's your sidekick. It's not something you're deploying to you know, replace you in any sort of way. I know that's a hot topic. So yeah, I really appreciate you giving us some time today, Michael. Where can folks find out more about VAS and, you know, your work in the SAP ecosystem?
Yeah, so everybody can connect with me on LinkedIn. Happy to find you there. Find me there, Michael Pytel, P-Y-T-E-L at VAS. And then our company, vascompany.com, is our website where you can find all about VAS and all our fun locations from Singapore to the United States to Europe. We cover the globe. So excited to support.
Must make travel a bit easier if you've got all these offices everywhere so you can just pop around. And for our listeners, please give us a review, give us a 5-star rating. It really helps us bring amazing tech leaders like Michael Pytel at VAS onto the show. Thanks so much for your time again, Michael. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day. We'll be right back.